देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् This is Canto 5, entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. Today we're on Chapter 18, text number 38, and we'll also do text number 39, which will conclude the chapter. So we'll chant text number 38, which is on the board. Karoti Vishva Sthiti Sanyama Udayam yasya ipsitam na ipsitam ikshitoh gunaihi maya yatha ayah bhramate tad ashrayam gravnaham namaha te gunakarnamasakshine Karoti Vishvasthita Sanyamodayam Yasyepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Maya Yathayo Bhramate Tad Ashrayam Gravno Namaste Gunakarnama Sakshine Karoti Vishvasthiti Sanyamodayam Yasyepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Maya Yathayo Bhramate Tad Ashrayam Gravno Namaste Gunakarnama Sakshine Karoti Vishvasthita Sanyamodayam Yasyepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Maya Yathayo Bhramate Tad Ashrayam Gravno Namaste Gunakarnama Sakshine Karoti Vishas Sanyamodayam Yasyepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Maya Yathayo Bhramate Tad Ashrayam Karoti Vishvasthite Sanyamodayam Yasyepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Gunakarnama Sakshine Thank you. ladies. Karoti, performing, Vishva, of the universe, Sthiti, the maintenance, Sanyama, winding up, Udayam, creation, Yasya, of whom, Ipsitam, desired, Na, not, Ipsitam, desired. Ikshitoho, of the one glancing over. Gunayehi, with the modes of material nature. Maya, the material energy. Yata, as much as. Ayaha, iron. Brahmate, moves. Tad ashrayam, placed near that. Gravnaha, a magnetic stone. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Guna karnama sakshine, the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, You do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but You perform these activities for the conditioned souls by Your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Please repeat. O Lord, You do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but You perform these activities for the conditioned souls by Your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways. Just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because the materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, They think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 6, 18 and 19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows. Yajyapi sankhyamani pradhan karan jara haite kabhuna he jagat srijan nija srishti shakti prahu sanchare pradhane ishwarera shakti tabe haita nirmane. Atheistic Sankhya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. Dead matter has no moving power, therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air. The air is created from ether. The ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of the material nature. And the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshena Prakatihi Suyate Sacharacharam. This is also further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Texts 59 through 61. Jagat Karana Nahe Prakriti Jadarupa Shakti Sancharyatare Krishna Kare Kripa Krishna Shakti Prakriti Hai Gauna Karan Agni Shakti Loha Yaiche Kare Jaran Ataiba Krishna Mula Jagat Karan Prakriti Karana Jaiche Ajagadasthan. Because Prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material nature, of the material world. Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently. Om Agnana Timirantasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Karoti Vishvasat Stiti Sanyamodayam Yas Yepsitam Nepsitam Ikshitur Gunaihi Maya Yathayo Brahmate Tad Ashrayam Gravno Namaste Guna Karma Sakshine. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Everybody know what a lodestone is? It's a magnet, magnetite. So we get a sense of context for understanding Srila Prabhupada's purports if we also understand what his predecessors have written about the same verse. That's one benefit. Srila Prabhupada here in his purport has chosen to say certain things. We know that Prabhupada many times told us that he chose each and every word that he writes in his purports very, very carefully. And Srila Prabhupada therefore has chosen to say the things that he said here very carefully. There are a few things to consider here. The emphasis of Srila Prabhupada's purports, or this purport in particular, is given to deconditioning our assumptions about the way the material nature works. The conditioned soul, as Prabhupada writes here, assumes that everything material nature is, the workings of nature are going on automatically, and that is the first illusion that has to be removed before we can understand anything higher about this verse, or about especially the following verse, which we'll get to in a moment. So, but there's first a question here. It seems to be a question of ethics. Prabhupada brings this up the first thing in his purport. He says, sometimes the question arises as to why the Supreme Lord has created the material world, which is so full of suffering, for the living entities entrapped within it. The answer is given herein, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create the material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. When you're speaking to someone and someone is emotionally disturbed, you have to calm down their emotions before you can have a rational discussion. And Srila Prabhupada is doing that because each of us has some attitude problem with the Supreme Personality of Godhead that has to be adjusted. We think that he's unfair, we think he's doing so many things that are wrong, and we don't understand. We have so many illusions. But unless we can approach the subject matter with a calm mind, therefore Prabhupada is dealing with this issue first. And here's the punchline. He says it very simply and plain. There's no big words in the sentence. He says, concluding that paragraph, the Supreme Lord creates the world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. That is to say, we want some place where we can compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that place doesn't exist. Therefore, he creates it. That's what it means. So we have this problem. This is called, in a word, envy. Now, to facilitate that envy, then the intelligence kicks in. And that's what the rest of the purport is dedicated to, that, dealing with this issue on a rational basis. So here he says, the workings of material of nature are not going on automatically. Another very powerful, simple sentence that needs to be restated every single morning, probably first thing when you wake up. Because this is our default assumption. We go through life so with a dogged determination to erase God from the picture that the intelligence kicks in and therefore supplies all these arguments that everything is happening automatically, there's nobody in control here, it's all just happening through laws of physics. Shri Shri Guru Gauranga ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai, Shri Shri Lalita Vishaka Sahataratha Shyamasundar ki jai. So, this is the thing, and this is kind of what it means when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in the morning you have to beat your mind with shoes or broomstick, something like that, and again in the evening. The point is, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we have to hear this every single day, because we forget it every single day. In fact, Prabhupada therefore had to give this instruction that hearing that ends when the speaker stops talking, that's not really hearing. Real hearing means it goes into the ears and into the heart, and it's cogitated there, and it manifests in terms of a change of activities, and through a change of activities we ultimately hope to effect a change of character. Character is important. There are higher things to discuss in this world and in this dham, and we don't have access to them unless and until we deal with these core issues that Prabhupada has therefore emphasized in his purport. You are not God. You are not the supreme controller. You are not, the material nature is not working on just automatically in case you acquiesce that you cannot be the supreme Lord. Well, nobody else is the supreme Lord either. This is the attitude. If I can't be God, nobody's God. When I was in Mauritius, I saw my niece was wearing a T-shirt that said, "If I'm not happy, nobody's happy." So similarly, we have this idea. If I'm not God, then there is no God. This is the problem. So Prabhupada hammers on these points again and again and again, because that's required. Repetition of a thing is necessary in order to understand. When we restate the same thing in Sanskrit and also in Hindi, we have a word for translation. How do we say translation? Hindi mein usko kya bolte hain? Anuvad. Anuvad ka matlab kya hai? What does it mean, anuvad? It means to retell something. It doesn't actually mean to change it. It's not parinama. It's anuvad. You say the same thing, but in the same spirit. In literature, this is called sahridaya. In order to understand literature, Sanskrit literature, this is Sanskrit aesthetic theory. In order to understand literature, you have to be sensitive and sympathetic to the person who wrote it. Without that fundamental oneness or harmony of outlook, you're not going to understand it. The word is used sahridaya. Your heart is with him. You see? So bhakti process is like that. And Rupa Goswami therefore expresses the philosophy of bhakti in terms of literary theory and dramatic theory as well. This is called rasa tattva. It's a big topic. So those are the higher things. But hopefully as human beings we can control our mundane emotions enough to rationally unpack this information and deal with it in a progressive manner such that we can actually elevate our consciousness from wherever we are at present. That's why we're here in Vrindavan. Now, I was thinking about this, that Srila Prabhupada has actually written these books in such a way that one actually becomes purified just from reading his books. One actually associates with Srila Prabhupada and gets trained from Srila Prabhupada just by carefully reading his books. Srila Prabhupada knew that he had to do this. The only way he could realize the magnitude of his ambitions to spread Krishna consciousness in the modern world was to devise some means by which he could train people up by proxy, the proxy being his books. And he said many, many times, "Everything is in my books. I saw this yesterday morning, or rather I heard this yesterday morning. Keshi Damana Prabhu was speaking on the previous verses, and a lot of the things that are explicitly explained by the acharyas commenting on today's verses were stated by him. In other words, he had the intelligence by dint of his, how shall I say, assimilation of Srila Prabhupada's books to put this all together. One example is this. If we take it that, let's look at the first line of the verse. Vishva sthiti sanyama udaya. What does that mean? Sthiti means maintenance, sanyami means destruction, and udaya means creation. We're dealing with sattva guna, we're dealing with tamo guna and raja guna respectively. So a person, a viveki, he might consider that, is the Lord's desire impelled by these three modes of material nature? Otherwise, why is he doing all this work? It's clearly stated here, ipsitam, he wants to do this. But napsitam, no, he doesn't want it on his own accord. It's only for the benefit of the jivas. So then someone might come up with this opposition. That, okay, if he's working on behalf of the jivas and has no personal stake in it, then that means he's partial to the particular jivas who are in question. No, that's also not the case. Therefore, it's stated here, guna karma sakshina. What is this word, guna karma sakshini? What does it have to do with anything that's being discussed in this verse? And to what does it refer? Guna karma sakshi. He's the witness of the qualities and the karmas. Srila Prabhupada says here, he doesn't really translate it clearly, but he says the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. But it actually means, according to the acharyas, the witness of the actions and reactions, the qualities and the reactions of the jivas. That means us. The qualities that we have taken on as a result of prolonged associations within this material world. Whatever you associate with, you become that. It's a very subtle process, sangha. And whatever qualities you take on, you have to act accordingly. So that's called karma. Anything you do, it will initiate some sort of reaction. So this is the guna karma process. In the 10th canto, when Lord Damodar was praised by the sons of Kuvera after that whole Dhammabandhan Leela, it's described therein that the Lord is actually, he's described as Sarva Kshetra Vikara Vit. He knows the changes that we all go through. You may have your certain set of gunas right now, qualities, and you may have a certain set of karmas that you're dealing with right now, but that's all going to change in the future. Do you remember when you were a serial killer? Do you remember when you were the son? You see? But we do remember through samskar. This is internal memory, samskar. Or sometimes it's translated as instinct. Instinct. What we're impelled to do viscerally, not even consciously, a lot of the time. This is all affected through samskar. So that's all implied here by the words guna karma. And sakshi. What does sakshi imply? He's just watching. Does that mean he doesn't care? He's watching while we're killing ourselves or killing other people? Because we do both. No, but Utpudreshtanu Mantacha in Bhagavad Gita he's described. He's the witness and the permitter. Why? Because we want this facility. Unless there's an inbuilt flaw to material life, we will not give up this infected attitude. Therefore, suffering has to be there. And Keshi Daman Prabhu nicely explained this yesterday, so I won't reiterate too much. But I was appreciating that Prabhupada has written his books in such a way that people can understand if they read over a long period of time. So Prabhupada deals with this ethical problem. Some commentators have also dealt with it and explained how, because the Lord is simply the witness and permitter of our desires for our ultimate benefit, you cannot blame him for either being partial or being coldly detached or for directly affecting all the miseries that we have to undergo. These are problems that we create, and only through our hell-bent decision to evade the Supreme Lord or deny him or to do something other than act in our eternal constitutional position. So Srila Prabhupada has said these things. Now, that brings us to the next verse. We don't have it on the board, so I'll just sing it myself and then we can read the translation. Pramathya daityam prativaranam rathe yoma mrasaya jagad adi sukaraham kritva gradang stre niragarudanvataha krida nivebhaha pranatasmitam vibhum iti. That means, this is, who is speaking this verse? Anybody remember? Bhudevi, the goddess of the earth. Mother Earth, as we say. My Lord, as the original boar within this universe, you fought and killed the great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me, the earth, from the Garbhotaka ocean on the end of your tusk. Exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water, I bow down before you. There's no purport on that verse. But Sridhar Swami writes here, Avatara Charitram Aha. She's speaking of a particular avatar. Which avatar is she speaking about? Bhuvaraha. She's his wife. Bhudevi is always shown with Varahadev. When the earth was rescued by Varahadev from the nether regions, she was placed on the end of his tusk, because a wild boar has a tusk like an elephant. Therefore, she's comparing him to an elephant. And moreover, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds here that Prativaranam means Pratiyodharam, Hastinamiva. Hasti, Ibha, like an elephant. This Daitya that he killed, Hiranyaksha, he was like a mad elephant. And so the Lord had to take this form and kill him, just as one elephant fights another one. But it was krida for the Lord, it was play. Because anyone killed by the Lord is certainly benefited. Not really, he didn't dispatch him. And of course we know from Bhagavad Gita, nobody can be killed ultimately anyway, because we're all eternal. And Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have a slight difference of opinion here as to which water is being discussed here. Udanvataha means out from out of the water. Srila Prabhupada tells us Garbhodaka ocean. Others say, I think Sridhar Swami says it's from Rasatala. But at any rate, this is her picture. Now, what are some names of the goddess of fortune that we know? She's called Lakshmi, she's called Shri. What else? Bhu is maybe an expansion of the goddess of fortune. Think of the... Huh? Rama, okay, she's enjoyed by the Supreme. Anything else? Beginning with a K? Nah. Kamala. She stands on a lotus flower. She's also named after the lotus flower, Kamala. And therefore, the poetry is complete here. The metaphor is nice. She says, just as an elephant plucks a lotus flower out of the water, you've taken me out of the... I'm Kamala. See how beautiful it is? Her sentiments here, they're very deep. She's his wife. They're very personal. She appreciates... What does she appreciate? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us. Swasmin kripati shayam dyotayati pramathyeti. In this verse, she's trying to illustrate what extreme kindness he showed upon her. There's nothing so pleasing to the feminine energy than a hero who is both competent and caring. So this is the ultimate manifestation of this is found in the relationship between the Lord and his Shaktis. So here we have Bhudevi and Varahadev. Just down the street, there's also Varahadev temple, old temple. And in a strange sort of twist of past times, yoga maya energy, the Lord showed that form to the gopis instead. And Bhudevi is also the Srimati Radharani. When he comes in his original form, he's Radha Krishna. When he comes as avatars, he becomes Lakshmi Narasingha and Sitaram. Those are the Paravastha, the main incarnations Rupa Goswami describes in Lagu Bhagavatamritam. And then you have sub-incarnations and Leela and Guna and other kinds of incarnations. So Bhuvaraha is his form in that sense. When you add citric acid and Vishnu becomes curdled, then it becomes Shiva Shakti, turned around. You see? That's why they say also Vinayaka. Vinayaka. He leads us away from the real thing. Vigata. Vigata Neta. He's leading us in the wrong direction. Ganesh, right? Why do we say that? He's considered to be Riddhi Siddhi Dayaka, right? He gives us all success and all power, but success and opulence and victory in this world, they actually entangle us further in so much suffering that is endemic within this world. Therefore, it's not really mercy. These demigods, they have their forms. All of us have our forms. Vishnu has his different forms according to his activities and his interactions. His Shakti accompanies him respectively. When he comes into the material world, he becomes Shiva Shakti. When he's manifested as lesser demigods, he becomes something else, Shachi Indra, right, etc. And we are also there. We also have our own identity in the spiritual world, but the more we corrupt it by ignoring it, we take on the characteristics of whatever else we do associate with, and therefore we become Mukunda Datta Dasa or whatever. You see the problem. Therefore, Prabhupada is dedicating 90% of his purport to hammering in this message. You are not independent. Things are not happening automatically. There's love involved here. There's desire involved here. Ipsitam. So, Ipsitam, although he desires, he doesn't desire. Not Ipsitam. This is an Achintya Bheda Bheda. But it's not actually Achintya. We've already explained. Everything is happening with a person behind it. This is the point. Now, Sridhar Swami says here that she's already offered her obeisances to the Nirguna Rupa of the Lord, so now she's going to offer obeisances to Parameshwara. Parameshwar means the Supreme Lord. Who is the Supreme Lord for Bhudevi? Varahadev. So, does anybody remember where did we talk about Nirguna in these verses? Is there any mention of Nirguna Rupa? Text 36. By manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies. Yet, you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. Because you are self-manifested, only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. A number of Shastric passages are quoted here in this connection to explain. And one of them is this, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by chanting the Vedic mantras. Sarva vyapi, sarva bhutantaratma. He is all pervading and he is within the heart of the living entities. Karmadhyaksha sarva bhutadhivasaha. He witnesses all activities of the living entity. Sakshi cheta kevalo nirgunascha. This is the point. The Supreme Lord is the witness as well as the living force. Yet he is transcendental to all material qualities. So someone might think, if the Lord is transcendental to all material qualities, then he's nirguna, impersonal. For that reason, she makes a very personal prayer at the very end. Basically, she says, she's not asking for anything, as we heard the other day. She says, thank you. You were very kind to me. I love you. This is what she said. She's telling her husband this. You lifted me up from the earth with the Garbhodaka ocean and placed me on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water. I bow down before you, and we should do likewise. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport, so the fifth canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Prayers Offered to the Lord by Residents of Jambudvip. This topic is somewhat continued in the next chapter, which describes Jambudvip further, beginning with nice glorifications of... Anyway, we'll find out. I don't want to spoil the plot too much. But one thing we can say is that this land of India is now fast being covered over. It was previously manifesting all of its spiritual opulences. And it's all being, not exactly erased, but effaced as fast as possible. So we should study the next chapter very carefully, because it is impossible for a sincere and careful reader to walk away with any impression other than that this land is very special and divine. And it is a very, very rare opportunity for a human being to take advantage of all the tirthas that are here, all the deities, all the holy persons, the saintly association is available, the shastras, the holy rivers, the temples, so many things are here that Prabhupada will discuss them in detail in the next chapter. I'll stop here unless anybody has any questions or comments on any of the things that we've mentioned here. I'll just add one more thing, is that just as it is very difficult to appreciate the sentiment expressed by Bhudevi in the concluding verse of this chapter, which we've just read, until one deals with the sambandha gyan, the relationship between the Lord and his material energy, and particularly our relationship with the Lord and with his material energy. Unless one processes that accordingly, as Prabhupada has helped us to do in his purport, it will be very difficult to understand anything higher. And in that sense, just as Bhumi Devi's prayers to the Lord are very deep and personal, so Srila Prabhupada's own purports are demonstrating his own relationship with the Lord, because he has an acute awareness of what the Lord's strongest desire is. The word ipsitam is here twice, indicating the Lord's desire. And Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, is very sensitive to the fact that Krishna is also very compassionate and is very much attached to each and every one of us, and therefore attached to pulling us out as necessary from the muck of illusion in which we're at present so deeply sunk. So I'll end here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? I think we should have a microphone here. If you want to hand it.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. And just to the points that you mentioned here, and the terms that I like, Anuvad and Surhita that you mentioned. But I'm still trying to understand the analogy here. The Lord's stone, what does it refer to? Is the will of the Lord or something material?
Yeah. That's a very good question. Commentators have pointed out here, it is because of contact with the Lord that although the material energy is dead, inert matter, it becomes activated. It becomes capable of functioning through his contact, in exactly the same way that dead matter is never going to move until someone, you know, a magnet, for example, or a piece of iron is never going to move. But if you put a magnet there, you can either repel or you can attract it, depending on which how you hold the magnet. You see? It requires a personal touch. That's as simple as that.
What does it mean?
I mean, what's means, personal? Means that the Lord is investing this so much life within this material energy. The jivas are here. He has implanted all the jivas in this material world, and he has enabled the material energy to work through his energies. Maya tyakshena prakati suyate sacharacharam. He's overseeing all the activities, he's organizing all the activities, and ultimately he's empowering those activities. This material world is dead. Just like this, we all love someone. Think of the person that you love most in this material world. Now think of that person, God forbid, as a dead body. You see the difference? There's a difference between matter that is animated by spirit and matter that has not been touched yet. You see? So in exactly the same way that the presence of the soul within the body animates and activates and enlivens this body with consciousness, so on a macrocosmic level as well, this whole material manifestation is going on only because of the energy of the Lord and His touch and His oversight and His intervention on occasion. That intervention is called mercy, which is the essence. So these are the things that we have to take home from this. We like to think that everything is going on automatically, as I explained earlier, but it's not like that. There's actually a person behind everything, is the point. Does that make it easier?
Yeah, but I'm still struggling with the... is there something material? Okay, you said spirit, but like sometimes scientists, they are looking for some elements which make things happen.
Yeah.
Or there's still
Nothing happens without a person. This is the point. There's always a person involved, period.
Okay, thank you.
That's the essence of it. Anything else? Ms. Prabhu here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji for really very elaborate explanation. You described the glory of Jambudvip and so much personal manifestation of the Lord. And still the irony is that in spite of so much personal manifestation of the Lord in different forms, the Vedas, which mostly deal with the three modes of material nature, and in order to help the living entity to come out of the three modes covering, they just end up mostly, the most explanation is just describe the aspect that it is not the supreme which is to be searched, it is not anything of these three modes of material nature. So the majority section ends up dealing with the karma and jnana to their aspect. The personal aspect is so minimal. So those who are stuck with this nirguna understanding, that nirguna means they equate with the impersonal. And of course we as in devotional path, we understand nirguna is also endowed with the spiritual qualities. But their conviction, as much as we are convinced about the transcendental qualities and the Lord Himself manifesting in various ways, their conviction is seems to be no less. And so the Vedas mostly support the nirgun or the impersonal aspect. So on the side, it seems to be like a very, very difficult for a person to, one who has become stuck with that impersonal aspect, to appreciate the personal manifestation. This always seems like an embargo. If you could shed some light.
I think the key is, like I said, that Prabhupada has put it very simply here and succinctly, the Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. We want things to be nirguna, therefore the nirguna is prominent. He's not partial, we described. He's only reacting to our desire. He's fulfilling our desire according to what we want, but he's always making himself available in so many ways. Bhagavatam is always there. Bhagavad Gita is always there. Saintly persons are always there, devotees. So Prabhupada said this process is very simple for those who are simple, and it's very complicated and difficult for those who are not so sarala sita. for those who are a little bit, you know, want something else, actually, for them it will be very baffling and very difficult as long as they maintain that position. Therefore, I said, it's a process of attitude adjustment. And the attitude is adjusted by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He makes himself freely available in the form of his holy name if we only have to take it. Then everything becomes clear once the clouds of illusion are freed. Cheto darpana marjanam, like cleansing a mirror of the heart. Then we see. The reflection will be clear. Otherwise, sometimes a mirror is so covered you can't even see that it's a mirror. These are the people who say that everything is happening automatically. They don't even see that there's a mirror. It's completely covered with dust. You see? So yeah, it's a task that we have been given. Prabhupada said, you have to do as I'm doing. So we have to... Who else is going to represent Srila Prabhupada now, 40 years or so, you know, after he's left this world? We have to do that. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gave this instruction, Jare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh ityadi. Is that okay? Anything else? Otherwise, it's late now. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.